First, also related to voting, a report from Wisconsin Watch shows the state's voter ID laws for college students have made the process difficult. And it's more confusing when students aren't on campus because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Dee Hall is managing editor of Wisconsin Watch. She recently talked to WPR host Keely Baltina.
How many college students actually vote here in Wisconsin?
Well, like most places, college voters are not the most vigorous voters around. We have about 340,000 college students in Wisconsin, ranging from UW-Madison to technical colleges and schools. And they make up 6.9% of the electorate. The issue with young voters is that they often vote at a fraction of the rate of older ones. Nationally, for example, voters ages 18 to 25 voted at about a 36% turnout rate compared to like 66% for people 60 and older. So they're clearly, it's a large demographic group, but it's one that really hasn't shown its political power fully yet.
Although at 6.9%, that can be significant considering Wisconsin has this reputation for close elections.
Yes, that's the key here, because many of our statewide races are decided by 1% or so. And for example, Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin in 2016 by right around 1%, or about 23,000. So you can see how an infusion of college voters could really make a difference one way or the other in a race.
Does college student voting benefit one political party over the other?
Well, generally speaking, younger voters tend to skew Democratic. And so about 60% of the people, of voters 18 to 25 nationwide, would call themselves Democrats. There was a Tufts University study that found that counties in Wisconsin's college students, they went for Evers more significantly than counties without college students who voted for Governor Scott Walker. And of course, Evers won. So, you know, it can be a very decisive force when the college voters get together and vote.
One person in this article from Wisconsin Watch says that the voter ID requirements seem purposely designed to make it hard for students in Wisconsin to vote. Can we prove that?
Well, there have been studies in other places that talk about that. In North Carolina, for example, even after they got rid of their photo ID requirement, students and younger voters still had a hard time complying. So it's generally recognized that these kinds of requirements, photo ID requirements, do tend to depress votes among Democrats, among people of color, and among younger voters who are not as familiar, let's say, with the voting system.
How do we know about Wisconsin's voter ID requirements and how those affect a student's ability to vote, specifically in April's election?
So the issue with college student voters in April was compounded. You've got the issue of photo ID, which we talked about, which is difficult for college students to comply with. There are additional requirements for students to prove their identity and their residence that are beyond what you or I, non-students, would have to prove. For example, we're the only state in the country that requires a college student who wants to use a college ID with the college address on it, or to say that that person's in college, they have to get a proof of enrollment form from their university. In addition, most of the IDs that are issued by UW campuses are not compliant with the voter ID law, the photo ID law. So for example, we have 13 four-year UW campuses, only four of them issue an ID to students that is compliant with the law. So those campuses then have to issue a separate ID to students who don't always know that they need a separate ID in order for them to use that college identification to vote. So those are some of the barriers that have been existing since the law was put in place in 2015, after a long court battle that went on for years. Beyond that, of course, we had the pandemic. So students found out with very short notice that they were not going to be on campus if they live away from home. They were not going to be on campus anywhere in the state of Wisconsin at the April 7th election. So some of them, had to re-register at their permanent home. those who stayed in Madison had to decide, do I still want to vote in person, for example, or do I try to figure out this absentee balloting system? So we don't have any particular numbers about how much college voting was suppressed, but we did speak with people who were working in this area in voter registration who said that it was just a lot of confusion and people were mostly just concerned about getting back to their homes safely, and the election was somewhat of a secondary matter for them.
Dee Hall is managing editor of Wisconsin Watch. We're talking about a piece about the challenges that college students in Wisconsin face when they want to vote and how the pandemic affects that. This is the Ideas Network. Dee, the reporter on this story highlights a student named Peter German. What was his experience in the recent election? It seems like it's a pretty good example of that confusion you were talking about.
Yeah, so Kayla Hewn was one of my students in our spring class where we were examining issues surrounding Wisconsin's upcoming election. And she happened to go out to the polls in February, the spring primary in February. And she luckily ran across Peter German, who was a student who was just determined to vote. He had voted every election that he was eligible to vote for. So he was at that time a freshman from West Bend here at UW-Madison. He'd been running from building to building trying to cast his ballot. So he had tried to register at the Madison City Clerk's office the day before the election. In-person registration was not available. He didn't have the right ID. He didn't have the other documents we talked about, the proof of enrollment documents. And so on election day, he again had to crisscross across campus to finally get the student voter card, which he needed to be able to cast a ballot from his Madison address, his dorm address. He is just illustrative of the fact that Wisconsin is one of the most difficult places for college students to vote. Then after the pandemic, he, like most people, left campus, went back to their home cities, and he had a rough go of the absentee balloting system, which, as has been widely reported, was really chaotic. And he ran into trouble then too in April when he tried to, he was successful in voting, and he was able to vote absentee, but there were a lot of bumps on the road to that result.
There are lawsuits pending over Wisconsin's student voter ID laws. What do advocates challenge here?
Well, there are three different lawsuits, and they're actually all challenging. They're all federal lawsuits, and so they are challenging these requirements under the U.S. Constitution. So the arguments, for example, one of them raises the equal protection due process claim, which is people should be equally protected under the law, regardless of your age or your status, for example. Another one specifically mentions the amendment that gave 18-year-olds the vote and that this is violating that amendment. And generally speaking, the arguments are that, you know, you are requiring college students to do something that other voters don't have to do, and therefore you're violating their right to vote.
Students haven't been on campuses here in Wisconsin, many of them for months. How could what Wisconsin Watch reports here affect future voting? And yes, I'm looking ahead to the November election.
Right. I think some of the same issues that we saw in April are probably going to be here in November. I know at the UW-Madison, for example, that they're suspending in-person instruction after the Thanksgiving break because of the concern that the coronavirus will be so strong that it will be unsafe for our people to meet together after that break. So there is a concern about a resurgence in the virus in Wisconsin and elsewhere. As a result, students may not know exactly where they're going to be on November 3rd. And if you don't know where you're going to be living, it makes it more difficult for you. You have to change your registration address. You have to register in the place where you're living as opposed to maybe Madison, where you may have voted, or vice versa. You're a student at UW-Milwaukee, but your home is in Green Bay. You know, do you register to vote in Milwaukee and file an absentee ballot because you're not physically going to be in Milwaukee? Or do you re-register and change your state voter registration to make it Green Bay with the idea that then at some point you're going to have to change it back to Milwaukee when you go back to school? So I think they're facing a somewhat different hurdle in the sense that unlike most of us who stay put living where we live, students change addresses throughout the year, and they have a legal right to vote at either place, at the place their hometown, or their school, but it does require efforts on their part to change those addresses and then to, again, prove the address where they are staying at the time of the election.
Dee, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was Dee Hall, managing editor of Wisconsin Watch and co-founder of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee talked to WPR host Keely Baltina about a story on barriers to voting for college students here in Wisconsin. You can read the full article at WPR.org/centraltime.